I want to first thank everyone who has served this morning, this month, this year, in ways that bring such hope. What a gift it is to be church family together, as Paul was saying at the beginning. It has been a tough week, globally in the news, locally in the news. And I am so glad for a faith community that still shows up for one another. A church that still has hope in God. I purchased a book recently that I thought was going to be amazing. I thought it was going to give me good stories that I could share here with you on a Sunday morning. It's called Stories of Hope. You would think that inside would be Stories of Hope. It's a compilation of stories of refugee children. The title said it was Stories of Hope, and I believed them. I was wrong. These were stories of mostly bad news with maybe a sentence that said, God helped me. Or sometimes there was a line or a platitude or a patting on the head. They're there. It's all going to be okay. And after reading about 15 of these stories, just to make sure I hadn't missed any hope, I contemplated throwing the book across the room. Fake hope. Ain't nobody got time for that. I don't want to be flippant or trite or airheaded about my hope. I don't want to be brash or arrogant or anti-Semitic about my hope. I have no interest in being sappy or disengaged or Pollyanna. What I do want for us as a Mennonite congregation is for God to give us courage, confidence, like what he gave to the Apostle Paul when he was imprisoned and mistreated in Jerusalem. And it says, God was present with him, saying, it's not over, keep going. What I do want for us is for God to encourage us to persevere because God is our light and our helper. The people of Jerusalem needed a sermon about Jesus being better than Moses and the angels and everything in the Levitical system. Most scholars now believe that this letter of Hebrews was written after the temple was destroyed by Rome in AD 70. How would we feel if the place that is the center of our lives was destroyed? And more than that, in their understanding, the temple was the place where God dwelled, the place where God showed up. What do you do if the place where God shows up is destroyed? So imagine the sweetness of these verses that we've almost memorized now. Thank you, Karen and Paul. God said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Like the ticking of a clock, like an eternal light bulb, God promises presence to people whose lives are shaking. To people wondering if they can do this brave thing like going to school for the first time. God promises to be with us. One of the things I notice about Zion is that when life is tough, we are giving up on the right things. Think about what the wrong things to give up would be. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, that would be problematic. It would cause problems if when troubles come, which they will, it would cause problems if we gave up on eating or sleeping or friendships. Now think about some good things to give up on. I'll share some examples. There are two families here who this summer have given up on gardening. Now, I know we have a lot of gardeners here. Everybody take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. These are families who have regularly gardened in the past and enjoyed it. And because of the season of life that they're in, they've said, I'm giving up on gardening right now. I think that's a great choice. I've given up on gardening for a season before too, and I love digging in the dirt. And yet there was a season in our family where we had to let go of something. And so the pruning shears and the buckets all got cobwebs, and the home for the rows of the corn and the marigolds and the tomatoes became what we affectionately called the pit of despair. Please know I am not clever with names. I borrowed that name from my dad and my mom, and I think they borrowed it from Princess Bride, maybe. I'm still working on a new name for this same spot that has now been reclaimed with coreopsis and calamint and sage, where pollinators now dance and spread their wings. I have hope that we can let go of the right things, like gardening and like daughters going off to school, to college in 5 days. Another person here is letting go of their timing. They are longing for friendships here. They said to me recently that they were pondering, why do I keep coming here to Zion? And each time I do, I experience something good. And so they continue in hope. What do we need to give up on? And what do we need to keep? The God-inspired writer said, keep on loving one another. Remember those who are in prison and who are mistreated. Remember to honor marriages. Keep the marriage bed pure. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Because God's presence with us, temple or no temple, empowers us to do these difficult things, these priorities. God's presence is what empowers us to persevere. So I invite you to hear this story of perseverance. This is maybe a little bit about what perseverance looks like. What feels like many years ago, Kate was in sixth grade, and her class was invited to go on an overnight camping trip to West Virginia. And this was one of those moments where she invited me to be a chaperone on the trip. I said, yes, of course I'm in. I will meet the group there. And so I check my Google Maps, and I find out that I can save 1 minute. I'm a good Mennonite. I did this. I can save 1 minute instead of going the familiar route from Broadway to 33 to West Virginia. I can save a minute if I go out 259 out towards Highland and go over the mountain to West Virginia that way. I thought, great. It's a beautiful day. You're already laughing. I think it's funny that, I think it was Karen, you mentioned something about what if somebody gets lost. That's what they call foreshadowing. So I head out 259. It was a beautiful, sunny spring day. My playlist was going. I was rocking out to it, just having a great time. And when Google Maps said, turn left, I turned left. And when Google Maps said, turn left again, I turned left again. I thought it was a little bit strange when I turned left the second time and I'm going on, I think it was a gravel road maybe at this point, and there were signs on the trees to the right and to the left that said no trespassing, and I wondered, does that apply? Like if I'm going straight, does that apply? I don't know, still don't know. And So I'm going, and this was going well, at least I thought, and my CRV makes its ascent up the mountain. I get to the top of the ridge. I even stop and take a picture of the view because it was so gorgeous, this vista overlooking everything. And I did stop to think, well, I haven't passed anybody, any other cars in a really long time. Maybe that's a problem. But, you know, I thought, I'm just going to go for it. I trust Google. And so I went, and so I'm on this ridge, and then I start to make a steep descent down the curvy mountain. And as I do so, I'm thinking, well, there's no going back because I can't back up this steep, curvy mountain. So I thought, okay, well, this is fine. So I keep going and driving along dirt road, mountains. I lost my cell service, obviously. Couldn't call Mike, or tried to call Mike and didn't work. And then I came to a creek. Maybe it was a creek, maybe it was a stream. I don't know the difference. So I get out of my vehicle, I go over to it, I pray, I ponder, what am I gonna do? You know, the bank is here, and that bank is there, and there's water going through it. I don't wanna end up on the nightly news for being airlifted out. So I decide, you know what, I think I can do this. It's fine, Google directed me this way, it's fine, I'm just gonna go. So I get back in my vehicle, go across, and it was fine. And then there was another stream, and I crossed that one too. And then there was another stream, and I crossed that one too. And then I came around another corner and saw a stream and said, you have got to be kidding me. Really? And this one was bigger than the others. It was deeper than the others. So what do you do? So I got out of my vehicle, and I looked at this stream, and I thought, I don't think I can cross this. I don't think this is possible. So I went back to my vehicle. I parked it on the side of the road. There was no side of the road, but I sort of park it on the edge. And I go, I'm trying to get to Kate and to the group, and I cross the stream by walking. It came up to my knees. And at this point, I crossed the creek, I'm fine, and I knew it was about a mile that I had to go until I would get to a main intersection. I thought, well, this is fine, I can do this. So at this point, my adrenaline is just pounding. So I run as fast and as long as I can, and about 10 seconds later, I started walking. And it was soon after that point that I heard a sound. It was the sound of a vehicle. And instantaneously, I thought, oh, great. And I thought, oh, this could be terrible, right? Middle of nowhere, like nobody around. What am I gonna do? And I contemplated, do I jump in the ditch, like so that they don't see me and I can assess the situation? I didn't have time to do that. They were more surprised to see me than I was to see them. They didn't know how I'd made it this far. They were out mushroom hunting, and they were familiar with the roads and were surprised to see me. Thankfully, they were very kind. They said, do you need any help? I don't know what gave that away, but yes, I needed help. So I crawled back into the bed of the truck, and they drove me across the creek that I had just walked across, and then they assessed the situation. They said, I think your CRV can cross that. You're okay. One gentleman offered to drive my vehicle with me in it across the creek, which we did. And then their other truck drove back across and got him. And then they drove back across, and we all went on our way. And it all worked out fine. And eventually I made it to the camp, and there was Kate waiting for me. It reminds me of, I think it's Luke 15, prodigal son, where God is just watching eagerly. And she was waiting and wondering what had happened. Perseverance. How long can we persevere through our challenges? The The story reminds me of God being present with us. It's okay if you are tired or weary and need to sit down. It's okay if you need to rest, if you are grieving. God has already crossed over to be with us. God is standing at the lookout, watching for us to come home. Not to a temple that has been destroyed, but to a God who loves to be with us. As we let go of our timetable, of false hopes, about books promising hope, about pits of despair, and as we let go of trusting in Google Maps, it's fine to sit down and rest. We will rest together. And better, Jesus is with us, empowering us to keep on loving one another, to keep on serving others and honoring marriages and being content with all that we do have. We have a God who says, I am with you always. I am the light of the world. I learned this week of someone here who has been lighting a candle and reading a prayer of blessing that we gave out here, I think about 5 years ago. It's not about the candle. It's about the light that it points us to. It's about being warmed by the closeness of God's presence and persevering together. Our role is to cling to what is good, to throw out the books that promise hope and don't deliver, to kneel like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when evil slithers. Jesus prayed and surrendered, and God strengthened him to persevere. May God do so again and again for us, because God is good and faithful, loving and trustworthy, empowering and present. Remember, a theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. Think about the difference that it makes when one person shows up for you. What if we were to keep growing in recognizing that Jesus is showing up for us? Jesus is present. That means God's love, peace, power, wisdom, and grace are with us always. All this is available to us. We can't see Jesus in the same way that we can see a book that says it's about hope. And yet the hope that Jesus offers us is better. And let's keep discovering Jesus' presence with us. Amen.